570.
His name is David Vasek. Broadcasting straight from his home. His family probably wishes that he was still on the road, but he can't. Still, he's got a job to do. So he's talking Dodger baseball with each and every one of you. So while we sit waiting on games or waiting on names like Andre or Big Mac to crap on Vasek, Dodger talk without the baseball for a while, the time has come. So here it is, pandemic style.
Oh, yeah, on a different technological level tonight here on Dodger Talk. Not only is Andre Ethier with us on AM 570 LA Sports, but he also is Zooming with me so we see each other while we're doing the show tonight. And you'll be able to see that video later on our website and on our AM 570 LA Sports Twitter account. And he's sporting a real nice throwback Marcel Dion-type Kings, LA Kings cap right now. Aren't you?
Yeah, we were just talking before we got on here. I said, this is the first time in a month I think I actually combed my hair, but I had to still rock my LA Kings throwback hat for everyone on watching Zoom later on.
And your beard is looking pretty tight as well. Who shaved your beard for you?
I would say that's me, but my son was picking me at me the other night about how much gray I have going on in my beard. So I decided to get away my caveman style and shave up my neck, trim up, you know, do a little jawline stuff to kind of make it presentable. But then I figured, and I realized I was doing that for an 11-year-old. So what a place I'm at in quarantine right now.
Hey, let's be honest, though. I'm going to out you right now. I know you're trying to act like you just did this for your kids. You combed your hair. You shaved your neck beard for your kids. But I have Vasek moles everywhere, Ethier. And I have them in Arizona as well. We all know, or now we will know, because I'm going to expose you, that this Friday is your birthday. It is birthday week for Andre Ethier. So if you want to call in and wish him a happy birthday, 866-987-2570. I actually got somebody to text me or DM me a baby picture of you, but I chose not to embarrass you. I figured that would be over the line of our friendship, so I've just kept it to myself for blackmail purposes down the line.
Hey, I'm not afraid of baby pictures. I was a good-looking baby.
What happened? It went downhill after that.
Yeah, I know. It's one where it's a fun week. It's one where, you know, sitting here looking back at your birthday and, I mean, I just feel bad for all the little kids. Actually, my niece had her birthday Monday. And she had a Zoom birthday party with all her cousins and friends. And, you know, you feel for a lot of the, you know, younger kids and people who are, you know, stuck at home and not getting experience of their birthday with family, friends, and enjoy that. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to have my kids. And my daughter asked me, what do you want for your birthday? I said, just make me a cake. And she says, okay, I'll make you a pink cake. I said, no, I want a cake. Okay, I'll make you a pink cake. And so I feel like I'm going to get a pink cake for my birthday. But so that'll be the best birthday treat I can get, you know, from my daughter making me her favorite cake, which is always has to be a pink cake.
If you were able to have people over the house, not only were you going to have a pink cake, but what was the theme of your party? Puppy dog pals, Star Wars, maybe Transformers? What was it going to be?
No, it's the Play-Doh and Slime videos on YouTube.
Your kids watch that too?
You probably watch that, right? Those Play-Doh and Slime videos. It's like all you. It's like, Dad, I want to watch YouTube. Wait. We have Disney Plus. We have all these movies on iTunes. We have Netflix. Nope. We want to watch YouTube, Slime, and Play-Doh videos. And then we have to go get it off the Slime and Play-Doh to try to do the same thing. And then it's like one big mess. Slime Play-Doh all over the remote controls. I have to go for a long walk to kind of calm down from the mess. But you know, it's fun. It's one where, like I said, to say that I'm enjoying quarantine would maybe be a lie, but we're getting through it. It's one where, you know, like I said, still fortunate and lucky that, you know, all the family is healthy and getting through this strong together. And like I said, we're here for, you know, for one another, for our neighbors, and trying to make everything, you know, the country get over this as a whole, not just one person, one individual, one thing. So it's as a whole, we're in this together. And you know, it's been fun. I mean, have you been watching all the stuff all week on TV, all these, you know, comedians, music acts getting out there, putting their stuff. And I've actually been enjoying that. And it's nice to see that they put out there the Twitch basketball stuff that's going on too. That's pretty sweet.
I thought the biggest comedy show was today's Donald Trump's press conference, where a reporter asked Donald Trump whether or not he was going to pardon our guy, Joe Exotic, America's guy, Joe Exotic. Can you believe that? That really happened.
That's probably some of the best questions Trump's been asked in the last week, because all the rest is just fodder, right? I mean, the only real answer he can have is if he's going to have a Joe Exotic pardon.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that when all this is over, you and I, we should throw your birthday party and have a Joe Exotic, Andre Ethier type of birthday party. Not with any real cats, but maybe some blow-up cats.
Well,
or
I ordered a tiger shirt, you know, off Amazon. I ordered one of those big old school tiger printed shirts, but Amazon slackened and didn't deliver it in enough time for the show, and I was going to hopefully have it be seen here and debut on the big Bass Day. I don't have all these cool decorations like you do. When you guys see the Zoom tonight, you got to see he has this Magic Johnson jersey up, this Piazza jersey up in the back. I had to go in my stash and get my Ken Griffey Jr. I got this. My dad got me this right here.
It's a Ken Griffey Jr. pennant.
I think it was my 11th or 12th birthday. Got me this Ken Griffey. It was 91. So, yeah, I was
40.
What was that? 10 years old. So, yeah, 10-year-old birthday. My dad got me this Ken Griffey Jr. And he still had it in his closet and gave this to me about a month ago. So that's the only decoration I had sports that he has put up in my Zoom room.
Do you even have a man cave, an Andre Ethier room dedicated to everything you had? I was designated to the garage for a while, but I found a way to get a room.
I am in the garage. I do have a batting cage, and maybe next year I'll do it there. Actually, Lon Rosen, who is head of media relations, I don't know, I guess a jack of all trades for the Dodger front office, if no one knows exactly what he does, but he got John Suhu, our team photographer, to go take a photo of the outfield wall from home plate. So Suhu took a photo of home plate, real high resolution photo, and then I blew it up, had a like a vinyl wrap company blow up, and they wallpapered my entire wall of my batting cage in my garage to have the outfield wall, grandstands, the trees, the sky of Dodger Stadium. So when my kids go out there, I get out there, I can still feel like I'm in Dodger Stadium.
Oh, right. Yeah, just a little simple picture put up in your own personal batting cage. You're getting on me for having a couple of jerseys, and you got a whole batting cage with a whole line photo of Dodger Stadium. Oh, yeah, I have that, too. I have that, too, in my little backyard.
Hey, I was lucky and fortunate enough to play in that stadium for 12 years, and I never want to forget it. And that's me being truthful, honest, and being the 12-year-old, 15-year-old version of me. Like, I wasn't, I didn't know what Dodger Stadium meant. I didn't know what it meant to Angelinos, what it meant to baseball, anything like that. And then now getting to, realize I played in that stadium, getting to see that view. I don't know how many thousands of at bats I get stood in Dodger Stadium in that batter's box and being able to see that, outfield wall, what you see is priceless, and I never wanted to forget that. So don't get on me for wanting to always hold that part of my career, that part of my my dream. I got to live that dream, and I'm lucky and fortunate. And that's what I bring back. I think we've talked about this before, on the past shows. Is that's why I like going back and talking to the guys and just tell them, hey, like, don't just go through with blinders. Enjoy this, have fun. And realize where you're at, and because it goes by so quick. We're here, 2020 now? 14, 15 years later, 16 years later, I'm sitting here doing interviews with Dave Bassett. That's the highlight of my Dodger career right now. Come on.
You should take another sip. Take another sip over that. And now I'm curious if I
This is my cold brew coffee from my five must haves. All right.
Oh my gosh, Andre Ethier is with us every Wednesday night, taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570. Now I had a question for you that I want to ask you. Speaking of taking it all in at Dodger Stadium, I'll save that for the next segment. Plus, we want to get your opinion on what has been reported as far as Major League Baseball's proposal on how to try to get the season going, and it would be in your own backyard. So nobody better to ask than Mr. Phoenix himself, Andre Ethier, who, by the way, has Dodger blue blood running through his veins, no doubt about it. We'll be back with Dodger Talk, Ethier Wednesdays, Dre Day on AM570 LA Sports.
Dodger Talk is available on AM570LASports.com and on the iHeartRadio app. Back to more Dodger Talk with Dodger insider David Vasse.
It is Wednesday night. That means Andre Ethier. Dre Wednesdays. I'm coming up with a lot of different slogans for Wednesday nights. There's so many play on words with your name, so you got to tell me which one you like more. Dre Day, Dre Wednesdays, Andre Ethier Wednesday nights, kind of like a Taco Tuesday sort of thing here, Ethier.
Yeah, exactly. But Taco Tuesday, I think, is still way better than Dre Day Wednesdays on the radio. If there's one thing I want to get back at when this quarantine's all over, is I want to take full advantage and make sure that every Tuesday I am doing Taco Tuesday from the here on out. Supporting my local taco trucks and taco stands, because if there's one thing I miss is having a good carne asada or pastor taco right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you come back to L.A., I got a few spots for us by Dodger Stadium. Mexicali, I know everybody loves guisados. It's great, but there's another good one. Not as long of a line on lunch rush, so I'll take you there.
This isn't way over by your house in the valley or something like that, right?
No, it's by Dodger Stadium, so I'll take you there.
Okay, I can do that.
I've seen your picture at Eastside Deli many times when I go in there. You know, that's one of the oldest places in L.A. That used to be your spot when you were just a young pup.
Yeah, coming straight from the condo downtown, drive through the neighborhood and stop Eastside, get one of their famous pastrami with extra marinara sauce on top and extra peppers, light provolone on top, and then just open up, you know, like you almost have like a pie or something.
Yeah.
And just sit there and carve that thing. Me and Russ Martin, we'd go there probably twice a week during homestands back in 2006, 2007, 2008. And what a place. Those guys, the two brothers, always took care of us really well. And, that's definitely a place that I can't wait to hit back up when we get back going with baseball and back to, get night games there at Dodger Stadium.
Before I get to your opinion on this latest proposal that was floated out there publicly earlier this week, you were talking about how much you love being at Dodger Stadium and how you never took it for granted and still cherish those nights. I know when you're in the batter's box, you don't have time to look around and take it all in, but when you were playing the outfield, center field, left field, right field, you're one of those unique guys that had all of the perspectives from the outfield. Did you ever just look at the top deck in between pitches or right before the inning was supposed to start? Did you ever really soak that view in?
I will correct you on one thing. I did take some games for granted when early on in my career. There, you think it's going to last forever. You really do. But as you realize how special it is and is those, numbers, those days keep getting numbered, you realize, at any time, this could end, and, playing at a special place like Dodger Stadium, playing at the Dodgers can end. So, yeah, there was many nights where I'd be sitting out there, a seventh-inning game, up big, just waiting for those last couple outs to go, get those last couple of innings going, and you're just staring up there, watching the planes fly over the top of the stadium, sometimes there's clouds rolling in. Just up there enjoying that perspective, that point of view that you get only by being one of the nine guys out on the field at a time.
Andre Ethier is with us for the full hour here on Dodger Talk. And if you want to call and ask him a question, 866-987-2570 is the phone number. It's his birthday on Friday. So if you want to wish him a birthday or tell him what virtual gift you want to give him, you can do that as well at 866-987-2570. Now, Andre, earlier this week, there was a proposal, an idea that was floated out there on the Evil Four letter, and it doesn't seem like it has a lot of legs, but obviously it's in discussions, and part of what they had talked about was taking all 30 teams and plopping them down in the Phoenix metropolitan area and having them sequestered from their families, from everybody, only go from the hotel to the ballpark. And you know this better than anybody. The heat in Arizona during the summer is not really conducive to playing outside too much. So your thoughts initially when you first heard the idea?
I like everything besides the family and distance side. And I know there's a lot of people making sacrifices to get what they want to happen, you know, the right now and all that stuff. But to go through a time like now, to still have uncertainty, which is probably going to happen, you know, when we get back to somewhat normal, there's going to be some uncertainty of how much normal can we get to, where, you know, what is there another blip of this going to pop on the radar and have a stop again? So to distance yourself from your family and be separated from them and not know, I think that's a very tough thing for a player. I mean, it's tough nights to go through and have, you know, some of the games you have and not have some of the, you know, some of the people you lean on to be there for you, is going to be tough. And then to do it under the circumstance of playing in Arizona, probably a lot, you know, less unfamiliar for a lot of guys. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it. I think, you know, renting out hotels, having multiple teams at hotels, you know, a handful of restaurants you can only go to, showing up, having the same personnel, whether it's no fans or limited fans in the stadium. I think all that can work. I just think that family side is going to be real tough to get 500 baseball players to sign up and say, yeah, you know, I'll go leave my family for 3-4 months and you'll not be able to see them until, you know, maybe we got a vaccine or something. I think some of the testing stuff will lead to long drag out days, but I think most importantly, there's at least progression showing that they're floating all types of ideas to get the guys back out on the field and get them playing. But I think the biggest point that we need to still address is we got to make sure it's just safe, not only for the players, but safe for everyone else involved. Although, you know, there's a lot of peripheral staff, you know, yeah. Unfortunately, media members like you.
I am not going to be sequestered for 4 months.
Yeah, but, you know, just, for, you know, the trainers, the support staff, you know, the other people that are going to be involved that are keeping these teams running, that you have to keep healthy and worry about their health, their, you know, whatever they're playing for or whatever they're supporting these teams for. So there's a lot of things that still have to be hashed out, and I think at least it's in the right direction. I know everyone's chomping at the bit to get back, but it still has to be a quality product put out in the field.
You grew up and lived in Phoenix basically your entire life. When you weren't in Los Angeles, you were in Phoenix. You grew up there. We all know that. When I looked at it, and just outside of the sequestering, when I just look at the baseball dynamics of this, playing in 115-degree weather, I know they're talking about some teams playing at 9 a.m., but not all 30 teams can play before noon. And how about the automated strike zone? No umpires, because they would be concerned of the transmission of the virus between umpire and player. Those two baseball things, for me, I know we want to play and we're desperate to play, but for me, it just doesn't seem realistic.
I think it just sets up a bad precedent for the future of limiting, you know, there's been talk about baseball of the automated strike zone, right?
And
I think that sets a bad precedent to set forward and showing that you can play the game without them, which I'm a big, I don't like many umpires, not many at all, but they are very important and they are a part of the game and they're what makes the game what it is. I think if you take that aspect, that human element, that human judgment side of it away, you lose what baseball is. You lose that ninth inning Kenley Jensen, so-and-so at the bat. He throws a great pitch on the corner of the plate, and everyone holds their breath to wait to see if it's a called a ball or a strike. And that's a judgment. Like, one night, 3 inches off the plate is a strike, and the next night, on the black, away is a ball. So that's what makes baseball great, is all the unknowns, all the unpredictability side of the game that leads you to always going to edge your seat. If we knew that we had this one rectangle box every night, does that make it a little less attractive? I don't know. I think it does. I think it makes a lot less. And for a fan, it leaves you one less person to yell and scream at when you don't get your way.
Yeah. Although you used to take it out on the bat rack more than the umpires, right? You would take it back to the dugout.
Yeah, always back to the dugout.
866-987-2.
Not always my proudest moments, but yeah, they're fun.
Hey, passion. We loved your passion. That's why the fans, they knew you cared, right?
Passion, aggravation, all that's all the it gets intertwined. But it's one where, like I said, there's a lot of parts of this game that are tough to play. And like I said, if you don't have support staff, people behind you, it's just tough to go out there and keep doing it, let alone when it's 115 degrees outside. You're playing in some empty spring training stadium.
We have one line open to ask Andre Ethier a question. I promise I will give you your opportunity, but I want to ask Andre something that I debated with Rogan and Rodney earlier today when we talked about this automated strike zone. Just in general, Andre, aren't you a believer that Andre Ethier's strike zone is a lot different than, let's say, Cody Bellinger's or Austin Barnes' strike zone? Doesn't everybody have their individual strike zone? And from what I've been told from minor leaguers that experience the automated strike zone, they don't take that into account.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing. That was one of my always discussions I would have with umpires. I'm like, if the strike zone's, defined as above the knees, like slightly above the knees and letter high, well, that's different. Like a 5'7" player is different than a 6'5" player. So that strike zone's different. And then that also changes, by the way, if you're deep in the box or if you're up closer to the pitcher. That strike zone changes in all these different ways. And the reason why I was discussing umpires is because I stood up closer to the pitcher. So my strike zone was actually different. Because I would always tell them, hey, that pitch is high. Well, no, that's where I got it. Well, no, because I'm up closer, and that pitch before, why it's entering the zone while I'm up closer, is actually above my letters. If I'm standing farther back, that pitch is now on my letters. So the strike zone is actually changing how you stand in the box and do stuff. So I'd always have a discussion with umpires. I said, don't you think, well, this is how we see. We're not good enough to call it that way. Well, you said it. I did it.
So if they're not that good enough to call it that way, I'm surprised that you're advocating for them.
Because that's what makes baseball baseball. It's a judgment. It's a judgment sport when it comes down to it. We are judged by umpires on how we take our at-bats and take balls and strikes and how pitchers throw balls and strikes and bang, bang plays, which has been taken away because of replay at bases. Even balls that are caught in the outfield or whatever now can be reviewed, whether trapped or, whether dropped. But, for the most part, everything that happens at a home plate is still a judgment call if the ball's not put in play or fouled off or something like that by an umpire, which is still the right way to play the game, in my opinion.
Right. Great point. How are you going to judge a foul tip if there's just a robot behind there or just an automated strike zone? That's something that hasn't been worked out.
It's easy to judge it, but it takes away, like I said, it takes away the sports side of, like, it's not just a batter versus a hitter. There's a third person there. Oh, and even a catcher now. I mean, they're training every catcher to do all kinds of, you see all these framing stuff and how to position your body. So there's it's a four-person dance going on every time a pitcher delivers a pitch to home plate. It's a choreographed thing between four people who are trying to all get their thing in and get it right.
Always trying to figure out the puzzle, the cat and mouse game, right? That's what you always used to call it.
Yeah, then that's cat and mouse game in the dog days of 115 in Phoenix. They're going to be a fun thing to be a part of.
I think tempers might overheat in certain instances over there, don't you think?
Hey, I was talking to one of the trainers, Jay Bone.
Yeah.
Great,
Jonathan Erb, his real name.
Dodgers. Jonathan Erb, we call him Jay Bone in the clubhouse and still with the team, and he was physical therapist.
Rich Hill's caddy.
2017, and yeah, Rich Hill's caddy. He was my caddy in 2017, but he was with me here in 17 in Arizona when we were rehabbing. And he texted me after this announcement by MLB, and he was like, dude, we were out there every day from 10 to 12. And he's like, I didn't do anything you were doing. He says, and I had to go in after an hour. I can't imagine having to spend 3 hours out there. But, I mean, it's just funny because, I mean, if guys want to get out and play and teams want to get out and play, there's going to have to be a lot of concessions. I know a lot of guys are going to gripe and say it's going to be tough. But if you want to get out there and play, you're going to have to figure out the best case. And I think they said what coronavirus is zapped away at 130 degrees Fahrenheit. I think on the field, when you get that sun baking on there and you have 140 degree field, I think we can say it's going to be a corona free field.
Yeah,
in Phoenix during the middle of summer.
That might be the safest place to be in the entire world right there on a baseball field in Arizona in the middle of July. We're going to take a break here on Dodger Talk when we come back. I promise we'll get to your phone calls. It's Andre Ethier's birthday on Friday, so if you have a virtual gift or want to say happy birthday to the man, Andre Ethier, you can do that at 866-987-2570. And also, you can ask him baseball questions. How about that? And you can ask him what kind of snacks he has in his garage. I'm looking at him right now. We'll ask him what he's got when we come back. And also, we'll throw a couple of other things from our previous guests this week. We'll throw it all at Ethier, and we'll see if he gets upset with me. He usually does. He knows how to control his temper, though. More Dodger Talk on its way next on AM570 LA Sports.
On air at AM570, online at AM570LASports.com, and available by podcast on the iHeartRadio app. This is Dodger Talk with David Bassett.
Dodgers replay coming up at the top of the hour as we cap off replaying walk-off weekend. Tonight it will be Will Smith's walk-off home run against the Rockies on that Sunday afternoon last June. So that's coming up at 7 o'clock. And speaking of the Dodgers, they are doing great things with the Dodger Foundation. And throughout the month of April, we here at iHeartMedia are teaming up with the Dodgers and the Dodgers Foundation to raise funds to support COVID-19 relief efforts in Los Angeles to address the homelessness, food insecurity, basic needs, and support for healthcare workers on the front lines. You heard Nicole Whiteman last night. She is the woman that spearheads everything at the foundation. And if you want to donate any dollar amount, it all helps. Go to text relief to 41623 to donate any dollar amount, or by going to am570lasports.com and typing the keyword relief. Andre Ethier is with us for the full hour, and I promised everybody we have a full board of calls, Andre, so I'll hold my questions for just a little bit more because people want to talk to you. I talk to you all the time. People don't have the opportunity to talk to you too often, so let's do it right now. Let's bring in Peter in Buena Park. You're on Dodger Talk. Say hi to Andre Ethier.
Andre, happy birthday on Friday.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. How you doing there?
Good. I wish you were playing still. You are my
favorite
Dodger.
I wish I could still be playing also, but unfortunately with this birthday, I think the age side of me is catching up.
What's Andre, your question for Andre, Peter? Dodger. Do you have a question for Andre?
I want to tell him I hope he has a wonderful birthday.
Oh, good man. There you
well,
go,
thank
Andre.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And you stay safe and stay healthy, and hopefully catch you at a Dodger game sooner.
See, I'm making this the best virtual birthday of your entire life here, Ethier. Let's go out
I didn't
to.
I didn't know it was going to turn into an impromptu birthday party.
Veta and Brea, say hi to the birthday boy or soon to be birthday boy, Andre Ethier.
Well, happy early birthday. I was calling because you wished me a happy birthday a couple weeks ago, and that made my year, my quarantine year. So now it's your turn to wish you a happy birthday. And if I could send a virtual gift, it would probably be the piece of bubble gum. It was a piece of bubble gum you threw to me in the crowd right before as I hung up my poster that said, it's Ethier if I'm your number one six fan. So
I like
that,
it.
Definitely.
Was it that sugarless bubble bubble gum, the yellow package one?
Yes, it was exactly that same one. Unwrapped, still got it with all your other signatures. So I look up to you, and I actually, if it's okay, I'm a softball player, so I have a question for you about baseball. When I'm up there and it's a 3-2 count and it game's on the line, bases possibly loaded, I always think, what goes through the minds of a professional when you're up there in that game situation where the game feels like it's on the line, maybe a 3-2 count, bases loaded? As a professional, are you nervous up there? Are you like, or are you calm? Do you remember a situation you were up there?
Don't strike out. Don't strike out. That's what I'm thinking. honestly, I'm just really, everything kind of slows down. You know what the task at hand is. You know, especially those situations, you're putting the ball to play. You're the hero. You get out and you're walking off the field and hanging your head, but then you, got to get ready for the next day. But just going up there, seeing the pitcher, knowing what you're trying to do, which is put a good quality swing on a strike and a ball you can hit hard, and take your chances of timing something up and, executing that way. But I mean, really, there's more pressure on the pitcher in that situation than there is the hitter. And that's what I always reminded myself and, knew going into those situations.
All right. Thanks for the phone call, Vetta.
I'll take that advice when I'm wearing number 16 out there, and I'll take the Ethier advice. And happy early birthday again. I hope you enjoy it with your family.
Thank you so much. And good luck in those two bottom line situations.
Well, yeah, they know who they're talking to. That 2009, it seemed like every time you came up, it was a walk-off situation.
Whoa, don't say that. That feels like so long ago.
It was. I hate to break it to you. It was.
I know.
What do you remember each one of those walk-offs? And how proud are you now that you're known as one of the more clutch players of your Dodger generation?
I don't necessarily remember all of them. I remember a few of them. It's one where, it's nice to be able to come through in those situations and at least leave the fans with a good feeling when they're, leaving a stadium at night and able to have that, nice quick exit, not a long, prolonged extra inning, Dodger, game in the summer. But I bet everyone's wishing they could have a nice 16 inning Dodger night out right now.
I bet they would. I wish they could relive that 18-inning World Series game that Max Muncy ended. And I'm curious what your thoughts were. Speaking of extra innings, I wasn't a big fan of the idea that Justin Turner threw out there because of the situation of taxing pitching staffs, where he threw out the idea of having a mini home run derby instead of having extra innings. But I'm like you, I'm kind of a baseball purist, and I don't know if I want to completely just peel the layers away of the game. I feel like a tie would be better than a home run derby, because certain teams are not constructed to win a game that way.
Yeah, and it's just how isn't there an asterisk on this season then? Or there's going to be one anyways. But I mean, whoever wins the championship, and I know it's a shortened season, but it puts even more of one on, because it's not like the true way the game was played. I mean, I think even a 7-inning option is better. Putting the runner out on second base and doing what they kind of do in the minor leagues with, runner on second base to start the inning and see if you get something like that. I think, maybe that's a better situation. I think the entertainment factor would be unbelievable for a home run derby, but I think you'd also have quite a few guys coming up with injuries and stuff after being in too many little home run derbies and swinging to try to hit a ball over the fence the whole time.
My point is, if you're a Dodger, if you're Justin Turner, you want a home run derby. They led the National League in home runs, and you added Mookie Betts. But I'm sure if the Royals were going into an extra inning game with the New York Yankees, I'm sure they wouldn't be too thrilled about that idea.
Yeah, but I guess you never know. I mean, if it was a go down the lineup, everyone gets three pitches or something like that, and see what the total is afterwards, I think that'd be kind of entertaining. But I think you start becoming too novelty and, you know, too many
gimmicks.
Just, you know, yeah, gimmicks and circus tricks happening out there rather than just keeping the baseball the same. You know, and I think that's the point. I think we're trying to get back to get baseball on the field and keep it as, you know, most resemblance of what it would be if we started on, you know, whatever, March 26th, the day it was supposed to start or where the season was supposed to start. So I think that's the point of why we're getting back and trying to throw things is how do we get back to the most resemblance of playing regular old baseball as we'd see it, you know, over the course of the summer.
866-987-2570. Let's go out to Riverside. Rosie, you're on with Andre Ethier. Say hi, Rosie.
Hi, Ethier. I want to wish you a happy birthday. I'm a quarantine birthday person, too, and I just celebrated one, so it'll be fun.
Happy birthday.
Your birthday.
Thank you. March 27th.
Happy birthday, and sorry you had to be celebrating quarantine, but I'm glad we could have quarantine birthdays together.
Yes. Have a happy hour. My question for you is, not now that I have a son in high school, how old were you when you hit your first home run?
Ooh, I like this question. That's a very good one. My first home run I hit over the fence was when I was 13 years old.
Wow.
And I didn't hit – yeah, so I was 13 when I hit my first home run over the fence. It was a Babe Ruth game. I don't even know if they have Babe Ruth leagues anymore, but it was a Babe Ruth league game, and only home run I hit that whole summer. Got out in front, pulled a little ball up in the air, and like they say here in Arizona, the ball flies pretty well. And got up over the fence. And I think even through my high school career, I never hit more than, I think, 10 home runs throughout my high school career. So, you know, not many. I mean, I was talking to Cody Bellinger about this the other day. I think the same thing. His senior year, he might have hit 4 home runs. So it just shows you, you know, you can tell him, I don't know, what is he, how many, is he not hit his first or has he hit his first?
She hung up. She was waiting for her son's first home run.
Okay, she was waiting for. Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of different cases of guys developing power later, and like I said, I think Cody, I mean, almost led the league the last 2 years in home runs. Probably has just as many as anyone, and you know, hit 4 his senior year, and I think in the minor leagues, the most he ever had was 20. So power develops. Tell them just to keep hitting the ball hard, square it up. And then once you learn to start being able to manipulate the ball and hit the ball with that backspin and get that ball in the air, that's, you know, when you'll see those that hard work and that ability. But I think going back a little bit on that is people just look for your ability to be able to have eye-hand coordination. I think that's most important in developing young kids.
Mark McGwire was actually
– have any. That's why he's on radio.
I hit one home run in Little League. I was in eighth grade. I hit one. Shoe Park in Woodland Hills. Hit it over the fence.
You peaked at eighth grade, I can see.
It was. Oppo Taco, too. I was late on it.
When did your radio gig peak? Right now?
No, Monday nights are actually my best night of the week, actually, with Mark McGwire.
So you peaked on Monday. This is all downhill. I like it.
All right, let's go out to Camarillo, the 805. Rich, you're on with Andre Ethier. What's up, Rich?
Oh, my nickname's the Catman, so I want to make sure I want to talk to this character, this gentleman. I've been going to the Dodger game since 1965, and you're on top of the list. Your mom and dad raised you right, sir.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
I have a couple questions. I'll try and go through them quick. When you're in the World Series, what did you say to Mr. Manager Manley? Do you remember that episode?
He wasn't the manager in the World Series, Rich.
I don't put you on the spot. You remember that.
The playoffs?
Yeah. You remember when you blew
up? I can't remember. I think it was something about the situation and how we were just doing something. And I've talked about this before, I think, on interviews, and it was just about how we were handling our lineup and what we were doing at that point. And You know, it's one where there's a lot of things on the line in those games, and there's a lot of stuff, and a lot of people have opinions on, you know, what we should be doing, how and where they're going. And I think it was just a case of miscommunication on, I think it was a pinch hitter or something like that in that situation.
Hey, I always think, and thanks for the phone call, Rich, I always feel like the media overblows those type of conversations. Obviously, it wasn't a Billy Martin, Reggie Jackson type of situation between you and Don, but not just you, but whenever a player and a manager have a disagreement and the cameras are showing it in the dugout, or if teammates are having a disagreement, isn't that just the heat of the battle? There's nothing that people hold onto the next day, especially when you're with each other every day. Is that, am I perceiving that wrong, or is there more to it?
No, because I even went into the Donnie's office later on that, you know, after that game that night, and was just like, hey, sorry things got heated, but you know, he broke it down perfectly. He was like, you know, it's like a father-son relationship between your manager and the players. And I mean, name a father and son who haven't had a disagreement about something, yeah. And let alone when you're out there in the middle of a playoff game and everyone's, you know, high intensity, you know, on the edge, and you're having stuff like that. So you know, there's a lot of circumstances where you know, you're around each other every day, you have this relationship, and you know, things happen sometimes. Like I said, yeah, I mean, are some blown out of proportion, 100%. Some are taken rightly into context, but it's a relationship. Like, it's, you know, I mean, you hear it probably all the time, Dave. Like, how much the players talk about the brotherhood of the guys in the clubhouse. And, you know, the relationship you have with the coaching staff, and to say that everyone gets along and agrees on everything and things don't get heated, that'd be a lie. I mean, every clubhouse, yeah, has many disagreements in every sport over the course of a year. And, I mean, you see it all the time. I mean, look at an NFL sideline, you know, some of the stuff going on. Look at the NBA benches. I mean, it goes on everywhere. And it's one where, is it right and warranted? Not all the time. It doesn't always leave the best example for, you know, kids and stuff like that. But it's just what comes with the reality when those kind of stakes are online.
Hey, I think it's a great example. Shows you care, shows both of you have passion and you want to win. And that's what it's all about at the level that you play at. Hey, we're running out of time, so I want to get your guy in here. I teased him yesterday that he would call in to suck up to you. So we'll do it again here this week like he did last week. And that's our guy, or your guy, Manny and Gardena. Say hello, Manny, to your man, Andre Ethier.
Of course, man. My favorite Dodger, Andre Ethier, my daughter's favorite Dodger. And, hey, Andre, my question is, my recently accepted to ASU Forks Up daughter, where can I take her to celebrate her lifelong dream of following in your footsteps and going to that campus?
Well, when everything gets back to normal, are you talking in Arizona, or are you talking in L.A.? Where
ASU. You her lifelong dream was to go to ASU. So I
want to
take her
to near ASU?
Yeah, when I visit her at ASU.
There's a place that opened up just west of campus called The Yard. Really neat. The Yard. It's a really neat outdoor venue. Has a bunch of you know, the cornhole, the beanbag games, ping pong tables, a bunch of TVs outside, and it has a huge covered shade, you know, awning outside. I mean, this thing's huge. It's probably half the size of what a football field. You've been to one of them, right, Dave?
Yeah, I've been there a few times.
and you would say, right, that's a great college atmosphere type celebration place to take your daughter and tell her 100% Forks Up all day long. You know, really proud to say that and happy for you to be another Sun Devil, and look forward to hopefully running you in Arizona sometime.
All right. Well, this was awesome, Andre. Another great Wednesday. Thank you for taking the phone calls. If you want to see how we interact with each other, we'll be posting it up a little bit later on AM570 LA Sports' Twitter feed, how we have the Zoom going from here on out. So another great Wednesday, Andre. Thanks for jumping on, and the fans love hearing you and love your insight. So thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it a lot. And like I said, once again, all you guys are out there doing a great job and, you know, almost over this. And look forward to hopefully seeing you here in Arizona or back in Dodger Stadium for a game soon. And catch you next week, Wednesday again.
All right, sounds good. Wednesday night with Dre's. Andre Ethier has been our guest every Wednesday night, and you could podcast the show at am570lasports.com or by downloading the iHeartRadio app. Coming up next, Dodgers replay. Capping off walk-off weekend, Will Smith goes deep as the Dodgers sweep the Rockies last June. Don't go anywhere. And by the way, thank you to Ronnie Fazio for his help, and thank you for listening. See ya.